Welcome to the Holistic Wealth Podcast. I'm your host, Keisha Blair, wife, mother of three, author of Holistic Wealth, and founder of the Institute on Holistic Wealth. The show will showcase various experts in the key pillars of holistic wealth. Each week, we deliver the best information on how to become holistically wealthy and live your best life. Today, we have a very, very special guest with us. We have Alana Riley, and Alana is the Senior Vice President for IG Wealth Management in Western Canada. She's an executive leader, board director, alumni ambassador, diversity, equity, and inclusion advocate, and a certified coach. Now, Alana has an expansive career in financial services, leading teams of over 1,000 employees in wealth management, insurance, banking, and mortgages, portfolios, estate and trust, and small and medium-sized business lines. Alana, it's such a pleasure to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Well, thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here and thrilled to have the opportunity to talk about something that I know both of us are so passionate about. So I really appreciate the opportunity.
You've had an amazing career. And so I just wanted to get started with just your personal journey and, you know, your career in finance. And so if you could just walk us through your journey, that would be amazing.
You know, I often describe that, you know, I didn't wake up one morning and think to myself as, you know, a young student, I want a career in finance, although I'm sure my colleagues may have. You know, I kind of always put it that I didn't search out finance. Finance found me. I was in my university career and thought, you know, at the time, maybe I should have something else on my resume other than being a waitress, and all these other different jobs, and looked to one of the big six banks to start off. And so I was actually still going to school as I started my career in finance, actually as a frontline customer service representative, and then shortly thereafter moving into their foreign exchange area. And you know, it was a great introduction into the business world while still taking courses on a full-time basis.
Wow, that's an amazing journey. And I'm sure so many women in finance can identify with that. I can identify with it even just as a woman in economics. I think it found me too. So I've seen, you know, since COVID-19, so many articles about mentorship versus sponsorship and what women need to rise in their corporate careers and to kind of make it, you know, especially with the demands we have now as moms and as women, and we're juggling so many things. And I know you have previously indicated how much sponsorship can help women climb the corporate ladder and get a foothold in their careers. Can you tell us about your experience with that and what it meant to your own personal career?
Going back to the early days, I can certainly remember my first real leadership role as a branch manager, walking into this big meeting room, and there was myself and I think at the time one other woman in this sea of, I call it the sea of dark blue and black suits. And, you know, it was intimidating, but, you know, and I think after just a number of years, it just becomes your norm, your reality of the fact that, you know, unfortunately, still to this day, that, you know, our industry is not 50-50. It is still a male-dominated industry. And I think, you know, I think that is progressively changing and changing for a number of reasons. And you baked in a number of questions into that. And I could probably go on about this for a lengthy time, but what I'd probably love to share is, you know, the fact that one, I think that women need to self-advocate for themselves as a starting point, have confidence in what they're doing. And I know it's shared a ton of times, but, you know, a man looks at a job posting and there's 10 areas that, you know, they need to have in terms of qualifications. And he's got 5 of 10 and says, oh, I'm a sure win. I'll throw my name in. Of course, the woman looks at the same 10 and says, oh, God, I don't, you know, I have 9 out of 10. I shouldn't put my name in. And so, you know, I think it's really around, you know, leveraging and building your own self-confidence, building a tribe both internally and externally that, you know, are really going to help you in so many different ways. And, you know, I think that's been a challenge for women. We hate to ask for help. You know, for myself as a busy working mom, that's always something that I've struggled with, although I think I'm starting to get a bit better. And COVID brought that out in a lot of us, where all of a sudden we're faced with, oh my gosh, homeschooling. I didn't sign up for homeschooling. You're trying to contend with that in the midst of your busy, you know, work life, in addition to a time where your teams really needed you. They had lots of things going on in their personal lives that, you know, needed to support. And, you know, obviously, whether from a health perspective, a wellness perspective, being isolated from not seeing family members, you know, the challenges just went on and on. So, you know, I think COVID really actually opened our eyes to a cultural shift that we need to do both internally in the workplace and certainly externally in our communities.
Yes, absolutely. And I know so many women can, you know, identify with what you just mentioned with homeschooling, online learning. I was there too with that and juggling everything that we had to do. So definitely those tips are well appreciated. And I'm sure, you know, especially with the groups that women can use both internally and externally, as you mentioned, to benefit their careers. And so, Alana, COVID-19 has also brought to light, right, the importance of having a financial advisor. What do you see as like the changing role of financial advisors due to COVID? And of course, especially for traditionally underrepresented groups who also suffered dramatically more through COVID too, right? And the fact that they traditionally access financial advice or financial advisors even less so and at lower rates than others.
I'm sure like so many women, as the numbers during the COVID-19 impact started to play out as it related specifically to women. And as you know, they coined that a she session, because we were actually set back 2 decades in terms of the number of women that were either working or working in some type of capacity and needed to step back and really fill the role of being full-time caregivers. You know, I joke all the time saying that, you know, my parents, they used to call it the sandwich generation, where, you know, you took care of parents and you took care of kids. You know, I now call it the clubhouse, because you know, just my family, as an example, I have a 100-year-old grandmother. My nan is a rock star. She's doing fantastic, but, you know, she's still in a retirement home, not even a nursing home.
Right.
Fantastic. Then I have baby boomer parents. I have, obviously, you know, my own kind of career and corporate commitments. And then I have children and one son with special needs. So, you know, that coupled with the fact that I think, you know, we also have community and friends. And so therefore, you know, I call all these demands on us the clubhouse. But during COVID specifically, like, you know, I think in previous times, we all looked at finance. Those of us who have been in finance and wealth management for a long time looked at kind of those 5 pillars of financial planning, you know, be it investments, having a retirement plan, cash flow planning, you know, your insurance or protection, tax planning and estate planning. And, you know, for me, I really saw that through COVID, the 6th pillar of financial planning is really wellness, which really kind of led me to you with your book on holistic wealth and your 32 life lessons. I absolutely love and resonate with. And, you know, obviously your journey and your story, and certainly, you know, your inspiring article when your husband passed and sharing your life lessons, you know, really is just, you know, that is just the heart of what we do as being financial advisors is, you know, it's really not about just putting a financial plan together. I call it, it's a plan to help people sleep at night. And women generally are wrapped up a lot more than men in that caring portion of the family. Not to say that they're not, but, you know, I need a plan to know that my 21-year-old special needs son, if something were to happen to me, that he's going to be cared for and cared for in the manner that I would want him cared for the rest of his life. And those types of planning conversations are really at the heart of what we do. So kind of circling back, I think that now more than ever, there's a great opportunity for women to have a career in wealth management, in financial planning, because the technical aspect of the job, of course, is there. But more importantly, you know, we have a caring gene.
Yes.
We care about our communities. We care about each other. And we care about the future of our children and their generations. And that, to me, now all links back into this holistic wealth approach that you speak of, which, you know, before was really more, you know, just black and white in terms of, okay, what's my rate of return on my investment portfolio? And quite frankly, that's just not enough anymore.
you know, when I think back, you know, you mentioned the article after my husband died. And when I think back to the role of my financial advisor in my life then, I mean, it was irreplaceable, just irreplaceable. And it was part of the reason why I was spurred to write about my story, not just about the financial piece as I had laid out in that article, but everything else, because it's so intertwined. And you're right, women have a strong role to play, and we have that caring gene, which is an advantage. And this type of world that we live in, with heavy disruption and people's lives getting upended, it really needs to be an integrated approach. So I'm so glad to have gotten your perspective on that. It leads well into my next question, Alana, because I recently launched the Institute on Holistic Wealth and have been in talks with several organizations to establish holistic wealth project groups in their own organizations, just to foster a lot of what we've been speaking about with the creativity and women getting together and just, you know, discussing issues as they see among themselves. And, you know, I've had even previous podcast guests speak about, you know, the benefits of smaller groups. And I know that for IG Wealth and for many organizations, we're all in a period collectively, in a period of looking ahead, you know, as to what we want that post-pandemic world to look like. And so I just wanted to get your perspective on how IG Wealth has been trying to close the gap with regards to women and their finances.
I'm really, really actually proud of the work that we've accomplished in a very short time frame. Over the past few years, we launched a women wealth and well-being actual focus. So one, just started off, what can we do internally to help support our own financial advisors from a retention, from a satisfaction, and from a success and mentorship and partnership type of strategy? So we formed a group of women that came together, and I was the chair of this national project. And started off just listening. What are the needs? What do we need to change to start fostering a different environment in our workplace? Some of it came back to paternity leave, new changes that may have needed to be made. You know, just other different things that really, you know, hearing the voice of our team had a great impact. And I think, you know, the opportunity for all of us in wealth as it relates to women, you know, has historically been that, you know, women tend to have shied away or maybe not played the key role or the lead role with their finances and or with their relationship with advisors. And, you know, I've shared some really interesting statistics with my team and mm-hmm. with our clients at different events as well, in that for the first time in Canadians' history, in 2026, women will control half of the wealth in this country. Mm-hmm. That number is just staggering. And so, again, using my family as just the great Canadian example, you know, women tend to live longer than men.
Yeah.
And women are inheriting more money than mm-hmm. men. And mm-hmm. we have this great wealth transfer happening between all of these generations. Women are graduating university at more rapid pace and taking on leadership roles like never before. So there's just this huge opportunity to service the needs of women as clients with their finances. And, you know, one of the scary statistics that I share with my team is that after the death of a spouse, over 70% of women change their financial advisors.
Mm-hmm.
And that statistic is alarming. And it's alarming because it really tells me that 70% of women have no relationship with their advisor. The husband and or significant other had the relationship. And there's this huge opportunity for us to sit down and really listen and hear what all of our clients have to say. And, you know, I think also you mentioned, you know, there was lots of groups through the COVID-19 that we really saw that, you know, just sure, we love to focus on providing complex solutions for mm-hmm. high net worth clients, tax solutions, business. But on the flip side of it, we do great work helping all Canadians from the perspective right now, it's Financial Literacy and Awareness Month. So, you know, our role as citizens in our community is to help all those people start to learn about how to manage their finances. And, you know, I'll share a quick story that one of my first experiences as an advisor sitting down, I had a couple come in husband and wife. It was in the late 1990s. You know, he was controlling the conversation, but within very short order, she was a basket of tears sitting in front of me. And of course, it all comes out that they're splitting up, that they're, you know, they're going to separate. And she had absolutely no knowledge of anything that was happening with their financial life. Wow. Not the balance on a credit card, not what the balance of the mortgage was that they signed, like absolutely no information. And, you know, that meeting, I have to tell you, Keisha, has resonated with me almost my entire career, to really not only focus on providing the best advice I possibly can to anyone, you know, who's been one of my clients. And of course, now, you know, I serve clients indirectly by serving my team, but really, you know, reaching out for women. And this is why at IG Wealth, we did launch a seminar series specifically for women, who we've now presented right across the country from coast to coast. And all of our advisors, you know, have the ability to now speak to this, to really start to position that women need to control and understand what's happening in their own financial life. There's no opportunity to bury your head in the sand. I kind of use it like the whole kind of getting on the scale example. You know, we don't want to necessarily get on the scale because we're afraid to see what it says. Mm-hmm. But if you don't get on the scale, you know, you don't have a starting point to start to take control of your overall, in this case, wealth and or financial situation is really like.
Absolutely. And that's an amazing story. And it's really touching, because you're so right. I think for many women, the lack of confidence, and just we're juggling so many things that many women just delegate the finances to their partners. And you're right. Once something comes up like a divorce or a widowhood, then it really can amplify the fact that we need to be more involved. And that statistic that you gave about 70% of women leaving their financial advisors is just unbelievable. I didn't know that. And I can see, you know, having been widowed at 31, I can see how that could be possible, because, you know, you mentioned not having that relationship that was the relationship with probably the spouse. I can definitely see that, especially for a lot of women. And that's why I think these conversations are so good to have, and to spread the message, which I'm so passionate about because of my own personal journey and my own personal story. And so, Alana, like when I wrote the book, Holistic Wealth, I mentioned in there that we all need to have our own personal financial identities. I'll give you like a little bit of a background as to why I was just so passionate about getting that out there in the book. So even though I'm a trained economist, my husband was a CPA. And so I just figured to myself, well, he's a CPA, so I'll let him handle some of the accounting parts of our financial lives. Of course, I was bigger on the investment side, which I advocated for and used my own personal financial identity to make sure that we had sufficient investments in terms of retirement and our whole portfolio, which actually served us well when he passed away. So kind of like on the tax side and all of that, you know, as an accountant, he dealt more with the record keeping side of it. But of course, I always knew kind of where our records were. And, you know, as you mentioned, balances and all of that, like I practiced as an economist. But I can see how many women who are not even remotely in the finance industry just delegate and just concentrate on the other side of our lives, you know, taking care of child care and taking care of our careers and just delegate the finances out. So I really wanted to get the message out about our financial identities, because what I realized was that mine saved me in early widowhood. I had advocated in our marriage and in our lives for certain investments that I spearheaded myself, because I'm a risk taker. And I knew that early on. I didn't have the words to describe it then, but I knew for some reason I was more of a risk taker, whereas he's more of a minimalist. And so I wanted to ask you to get your take as a woman in finance about the importance of this and what you see as the importance of it. Because I know for me, it's given me so much more confidence to be able to communicate kind of my personal financial identity, my history, my money story, why I'm the person I am. And, you know, some of that comes out in the book and even in the expanded and updated version that's coming out in March. It comes out even more because I'm giving readers more of a reason or why, the context, why this is so important. So I would really, really love to get your views on that. Because I know for me, you know, being widowed at 31, I still questioned everything. Even though I was a trained economist when he died, I went around in circles. Would he have done this with the finances? Would he have liked if I did this? What would he have said if he knew I was spending it this way? So I still had some doubts there, you know, and I've come full circle and, you know, I'm working with readers who come forward and they've asked me several times. So how do we know and what do we do? So I'd love to get your take on that.
You touched on so many great points, Keisha, that, you know, really, it actually, there is no one person who has, you know, the entire expertise end to end, because the interesting part about personal finances is it's personal, right?
So yeah.
Your personal family situation and needs are different than mine. It might be different than my next door neighbor. And, you know, so I think it's really interesting where you touched on the fact that here you are, an economist, obviously brilliant and, you know, very, very well-educated. And by the way, you know, I've had customers where we sit down and, you know, they're estate lawyers and they don't have an estate plan. So, you know, sometimes it's the, you know, it's the people that are actually in the business that are, you know, are so caught up doing everybody else's business that, you know, they don't, it's like the shoemaker that doesn't take care of their own shoes.
Right. Right.
So, you know, I think I would kind of just say that why I loved your personal financial identities quiz and the book is, you know, like I said, we all need a starting point. And, you know, I've chatted with some of my girlfriends around this because they're like, oh, you know, it's so overwhelming to all of a sudden, you know, need to gather all these documents and create this whole plan. Well, you can start to do it in little segments. It doesn't have to be overnight where you've done this whole reading. You know, it's really an opportunity, I would say, to a few things. One is really start to open your eyes to what's happening in your financial identity and take control of that. And so the first step in that is really finding a great financial advisor. I certainly have a bias and a preference because the majority of our team is certified financial planners, which means that they have a different level of knowledge and education. And we also have that backed by an advanced financial planning team for more complex solutions and needs for clients who are, as an example, for myself with my son, going back to him, you know, looking at, do I set up a Henson trust? How do I make sure that if he receives money through the estate planning process, this wouldn't impact any of his social assistance benefits? You know, there's all kinds of complex situations that I don't have to be an expert, but I know I need to surround myself with people who know this information to be able to create that. So, you know, I think it's around, I would say, whoever in the relationship is managing or doing the day-to-day accounting, as you call it, of the finances, that's fine. You know, we have to have a divide and conquer in all of our family situations on what the family, you know, needs to do. It's who's going to cut the grass, who's going to do the groceries, who's going to do all these things. But at the end of the day, you know, having some opportunity, whether that's quarterly, I still have, old school, I like to have a financial binder. My kids know it. It's at the back of the desk of my drawer. And God forbid something happened to myself and my husband, they know where that is and they can pull that out and, you know, see, okay, here's, you know, here's where the wills are located. Here's where the insurance is. Basically going through it on a quarterly basis, updating to understand where are we spending money? Where we're spending too much? Where is there opportunity? So I think it's important, just like we would have a quarterly business review, that you do a quarterly financial business review in your home life as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think we're really excited at IG Wealth. We launched our Living Plan portal this year, which is leading industry technology that allows a client to have an interactive approach to their entire financial plan. So when you sit down with an advisor and start to share, you know, different details around what this, you know, with cash flow and your retirement goals and, you know, tax planning opportunities, not only are we able to do the technical pieces behind the scenes for you, But then on the other end, they have the ability to sit in front of their computer and see how they're tracking to these goals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, this plan, you know, I was saying that the plan, and this is why I love, we call it the living plan, because it changes. Things change. Things change on a regular basis. And as things change in your life, as does the plan change. And, you know, that's why, again, I loved your whole article around the 40 life lessons that you learned post your husband's death was just so, so powerful because, you know, I think oftentimes people don't want to talk about these things. Finance is very personal and people get embarrassed about talking about it. But, you know, I think it's something that those conversations need to continue to be held because the path forward, you know, is really taking ownership and control of what that looks like. Even if you're not an expert, you don't need to be an expert, but you need to open your eyes to what that, you know, financial identity is.
Absolutely. And there's so much there that you just said, Alana, that is just so good, so good. There are two points that I want to pick up on that you mentioned for families. And I was so happy when you said it, because I feel like I've been kind of absolved. You mentioned the division of labor with or finances and the fact that it's okay to have that division of labor between spouses as well. Because I mentioned my experience with him being on the tax accounting record keeping side and me being more interested in the investment side. So I'm happy you mentioned that because that's okay. And I feel like that's not necessarily in that order, that split, but that women can know that it's okay if we've agreed to divide and conquer, you know, in terms of our financial lives this way. And the second point that you mentioned that was so important, that so resonated with me because, you know, it's so funny. You mentioned that binder, that financial binder. So my husband had one before he died. It was this big green binder. They sell them at Walmart. That's where he got his. It has multiple compartments in it and he labeled each one. And he'd keep all of our family's records there. And that's also something that was also so tremendously helpful in the days and weeks after his passing, when I had to access those records for various reasons and just knowing where they were, what was in there, what I could easily get at a moment's notice to deal with different transactions was unbelievable. So that's something I think is a wonderful tip and a wonderful piece of advice to give listeners. And you mentioned that quarterly financial review, which is amazing. Like, I think you've given so much wonderful tips. I absolutely enjoyed speaking with you today. I absolutely love this, Alana. Thank you so much for your words of wisdom. And I know IG Wealth Management has been doing great things in the industry. I know that personally. And so I was so happy to have you on to share your wisdom. And so, Alana, any last words? Do you want to tell anyone where to reach you, you know, if they need to come to you for any advice or to any of your other advisors?
Yeah, absolutely. And thanks again. As I said in the beginning, I know you and I are both so passionate about these topics and thrilled to have an opportunity to connect with your listeners as well. Of course, you can find us at IG.ca. There's great advisors just coast to coast in every community. So don't hesitate to contact them for sure. Of course, I have a profile on LinkedIn and so would be happy to connect and answer any follow-up questions. And, you know, I think, again, just leaving off on the fact that having a financial plan is planning and preparing for the unexpected. And, you know, obviously that's something that, you know, you've lived and learned. And hopefully, you know, through the work that you continue to do, you're inspiring other women to really take control and have that holistic approach to their wealth. So thank you again, Keisha. It's great to connect with you.
Thank you so much, Alana. And just to follow up on one point you mentioned just before we end, you know, where you mentioned having an advisor being critical. And I do agree, because even as an economist, obviously I had to have this team around me. And luckily that team was in place before my husband died. So I had my financial advisor, I had my lawyers, I had all of that. And so that helped also soften the blow for me. And so it's something that I would advise every woman to have. There's just no compromising. It's something that we all need to do. So thank you so much, Alana, for joining us and sharing your wisdom again. It was amazing having you.
Fantastic. Thanks again.
Thank you for joining us this week on Holistic Wealth with Keisha Blair. Make sure to visit our website, keishablair.com, where you can subscribe to the show on iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS, so you will never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. Are you a member of the Institute on Holistic Wealth? If not, what are you waiting for? Go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth.com/memberships to choose your membership plan and join. As a member, you get so many perks. Free worksheets, advice, coaching, and a member's workshop to design an intentionally designed life. You need to figure out your life purpose? Take the Build Your Life Purpose Portfolio online self-paced course. You're struggling with all your money decisions? Take the free financial identities quiz and then take the course. You recently had a breakup, job loss, or experienced the death of a loved one? Take the holistic healing course. You need an overall plan to achieve holistic wealth? We will help you figure out your holistic wealth blueprint. And of course, if you want to start making money by helping others achieve holistic wealth, become a certified holistic wealth consultant. Regardless of what career you've got, the Institute will show you how to increase your income and walk in your purpose. The sooner you join, the sooner you start to achieve a more holistically wealthy lifestyle. And you're going to want to stay for a very long time. So go to InstituteOnHolisticWealth.com/memberships to join. If you haven't read the book yet, pick up a copy of the award-winning, best-selling Holistic Wealth 32 Life Lessons to help you find purpose, prosperity, and happiness.